Jared Halpern in Chicago.
Some 25,000 teachers have walked off the job in a fight over pay, smaller class sizes, and more support staff. The city plans to keep schools open with non-union employees for the hundreds of thousands of school kids now stuck in the middle of the fight.
Fox's Jeff Manasseh. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says the city can't afford the teachers' demands. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. There is a tropical storm warning now along the Alabama and northwest Florida coasts as a quickly developing storm moves in by late Friday night or early Saturday. In the meantime, today's a nice day with a high temperature up to about 72. Great fall weather. Tonight, jacket weather. Overnight low temperature down to about 50. Tomorrow, cloudy, but it should be dry, high 72. And then looking ahead, tropical rain developing late Friday night in the overnight hours and into Saturday and part of Saturday afternoon as well before ending. Becoming breezy with a high in the lower 70s, then a nice day Sunday with a high around 80. Our weather app will keep you on top of all the tropical action. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks. Happening today, Alabama News Network is partnering with the Department of Labor for a job fair at Selma University from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Dozens of employers will be on hand with thousands of job opportunities. The reward for information that will help find Camille McKinney is now up to $25,000. The FBI is involved in the search for the three-year-old that also goes by Cupcake. Police say she was kidnapped from a birthday party on Saturday. Anyone with helpful information could contact 911 immediately or Birmingham Crime Stoppers. A group of civil rights leaders known as the Courageous Eight were honored yesterday at Alabama State University. The eight individuals led the peaceful protests in Selma that led to the 1965 Selma to Montgomery March. Their portraits were unveiled at ASU and will now be a part of a national traveling exhibit. And those are your news headlines this morning. For more on these stories and others, watch CBS 8 and ABC 32. For Alabama News Network, I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes, and you can try out new styles right at home. And there's no subscription required, ever. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you have a name, then you have a chance to win 1 of 5 great prizes.
Hi, is this Bishop?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, do you remember registering for the $1,000 Dillardine's gift card?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Well, we just pulled your name, and you are our lucky winner, sir.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Winning is easy. Register online at our station website. We'll call out names all week long. Play the name game and win incredible prizes.
From Dillon Rings and Blue Water Broadcasting.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Turkey is demanding U.S. allies, the Kurds, lay down their weapons or it won't stop its invasion of northern Syria.
President Trump and Nancy Pelosi met. Democrats say Trump was in meltdown mode.
He was insulting, particularly to the speaker, but he called her a third-rate politician.
Now, both sides agree that Pelosi walked out of the meeting.
In a letter President Trump sent to the Turkish president, writing, "Let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool.
An intense storm on the East Coast expected to develop into a rare event that forecasters call a bomb cyclone.
Hyundai is joining the race to build electric and self-driving cars. We'll invest $35 billion into future mobility technology by the year 2025.
So there's a spinoff of Grease in the Works, and it's for streaming, however, Melissa.
Yes.
Not for the movies.
I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love, and my devotion to the flag, our standard, oh glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Dan Morris is up 11 points. It is 62 beautiful degrees outside. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello. Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing well. I'm a little frustrated with the national press, but what's new?
Hey, Roy. Yeah. That's what you can do that and go take your hand and go slam it in the door about five times. Get the same result here. I slept like a baby last night. Window open, fan on. It was great.
Nice and chilly.
I could hear my power bill going down as we speak.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I've not slept that hard. I actually woke up with a sleep hangover this morning. I slept so hard, I was groggy. But you know what we got to do when you're groggy? The name game.
The name game.
The name game.
The latest name in the name game for this hour, the 12 o'clock noon hour, Jasmine Lester. Jasmine Lester, you need to call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to qualify to win a $1,000 gift card to select stores at East Elm Mall. Which stores? $500 to At Home and $500 to Foot Locker. So again, Jasmine Lester, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to win this amazing prize.
I may need to take the approach I did when I go to the dog track or horse track.
Mm.
I find a horse and I like the name Jasmine Lester. In a win, place, or show with that one.
Yeah, you know, that could be a horse's name. Well, it's not anywhere close to like Hot to Trot or anything. But no, Jasmine Lester. Call that number, 396-5477.
Jasmine, congratulations for being a finalist in that. They're going to do the drawing on Monday, I believe.
Early Monday.
And what do they get?
$1,000 shopping spree to select store.
$1,000? Really?
Yeah, $500 to At Home at East Elm Mall and $500 to Foot Locker at East Elm Mall.
Man, that is a heck of a deal. Yeah, the weather yesterday was absolutely incredible. Absolutely beautiful. It was so nice. You had enough coolness where standing out in the sun with the sun shining on your face felt good. Same thing this morning with coffee in my hand. I mean, I slept like a rock last night. I haven't slept that well since it was cold last time. But I can hear my power bill going down. Mick Mulvaney is doing an unusual press briefing at the White House. He started out, they announced that the 2020 G7 summit is going to be held at the Doral Club, and the press is going crazy over that thing. Oh, the Trump's going to profit from this. You know, I was on the search team that ID'd the Williamsburg summit for the G8 back in 1982, and we did Jackson Hole, we did Puerto Rico. Out of respect for Gerald Ford, where he held that, we decided it didn't take us an hour and 15 minutes to figure out Puerto Rico was not the place to go.
Right.
Terrible everything. Jackson Hole was pretty cool. And the facility we looked at, we actually recommended to the Queen when she came to the country the next year. And
Jackson Hole's a great place.
Jackson Hole's, particularly the lodge there. I mean, gosh, you walk in there, you can like feel the pioneers coming up and having a drink with you by that huge fireplace. But now Mick is being asked about his role in withholding aid to the Ukraine. Let's listen in.
So to the question of Ukraine, can you clarify? And I've been trying to get an answer to this. Was the president serious when he said that he would also like to see China investigate the Bidens? And you were directly involved in the decision to withhold funding from Ukraine. Can you explain to us now definitively why? Why was funding withheld?
Sure, let's deal with the second one first. Which is, look, it should come as no surprise to anybody. The last time I was up here, I haven't done this since I was chief of staff, right? Last time I was up here, some of you folks remember, it was for the budget briefings, right? And one of the questions y'all always ask me about the budget is, what are y'all doing to the foreign aid budget? Because we absolutely gutted it, right? President Trump is not a big fan of foreign aid. Never has been, still isn't. Doesn't like spending money overseas, especially when it's poorly spent. And that is exactly what drove this decision. I've been in the office a couple times with him talking about this. I said, look, Mick, this is a corrupt place. Everybody knows it's a corrupt place. By the way, put this in context. This is on the heels of what happened in Puerto Rico when we took a lot of heat for not wanting to give a bunch of aid to Puerto Rico because we thought that place was corrupt. And by the way, it turns out we were right. All right, so put that as your context. He's like, look, this is a corrupt place. I don't want to send them a bunch of money and have them waste it, have them spend it, have them use it to line their own pockets. Plus, I'm not sure that the other European countries are helping them out either. So we actually looked at that during that time before when we cut the money off before the money actually flowed, because the money flowed by the end of the fiscal year. We actually did an analysis of what other countries were doing in terms of supporting Ukraine. And what we found out was that, and I can't remember if it's zero or near zero, dollars from any European countries for lethal aid. You've heard the president say this, that we give them tanks and the other countries give them pillows. That's absolutely right. That as vocal as the Europeans are about supporting Ukraine, they are really, really stingy when it comes to lethal aid. And they weren't helping Ukraine, and that still to this day are not. And the president did not like that. I know it was a long answer to your question, but I'm still going. So those were the driving factors. That he also mentioned to me in the past, the corruption related to the DNC server, Absolutely. No question about that. But that's it. And that's why we held up the money. Now, there was a report.
So the demand for an investigation into the Democrats was part of the reason that he ordered to withhold funding to Ukraine.
The look back to what happened in 2016 certainly was part of the thing that he was worried about in corruption with that nation. And that is absolutely appropriate.
Withholding the funding.
Yeah, which ultimately then flowed. By the way, there was a report that we were worried that the money wouldn't, if we didn't pay out the money, it would be illegal. Okay, it would be unlawful. That is one of those things that has that little shred of truth in it that makes it look a lot worse than it really is. We were concerned about over at OMB about an impoundment. And I know I just put half you folks to bed, but there's the Budget Control Act, Budget Control Impoundment Act of 1974 says that if Congress appropriates money, you have to spend it. Okay, at least that's how it's interpreted by some folks. And we knew that money either had to go out the door by the end of September, or we had to have a really, really good reason not to do it. And that was the legality of the issue.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy. We were holding up money at the same time for, what was it, the Northern Triangle countries. We were holding up aid at the Northern Triangle countries so that they would change their policies on immigration. By the way, and this speaks to an important point, because I heard this yesterday, and I can never remember the gentleman who testified. Was McKinney the guy? Is that his name? I don't know him. He testified yesterday. And if you go, and if you believe the news reports, okay, because we've not seen any transcripts of this. The only transcript I've seen was Sondland's testimony this morning. If you read the news reports and you believe them, what did McKinney say yesterday? Well, McKinney said yesterday that he was really upset with the political influence in foreign policy. That was one of the reasons he was so upset about this. And I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy. I'm talking to Mr. Carl. That is going to happen. Elections have consequences, and foreign policy is going to change from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. And what you're seeing now, I believe, is a group of mostly career bureaucrats who are saying, you know what, I don't like President Trump's politics, so I'm going to participate in this witch hunt that they're undertaking on the Hill. Elections do have consequences, and they should, and your foreign policy is going to change. Obama did it in one way, we're doing it in a different way, and there's no problem with that.
Yes, sir. What about Biden's zone, Mr. Mulvaney? Did that come into consideration when that
money was held up? I don't know your name, but he's being very rude, so if you go ahead and ask your question.
Just to clarify and just to follow up on that question, so when you're saying that politics is going to be involved, the question here is not just about a political decisions about how you want to run the government. This is about investigating political opponents. Are you saying
the DNC server,
it's okay for the U.S. government to hold up aid and require a foreign government to investigate political opponents of the president?
Now, you're talking about looking forward to the next election.
The DNC is still involved in this next election. Is that not correct?
So, wait a second. So there's, hold on a second. No, let me ask you.
Investigate the DNC,
so
right?
Let's look at this.
Is the DNC political?
There's an ongoing. Investigation by our Department of Justice into the 2016 election. I can't remember the person's name. Durham, okay? That's an ongoing investigation, right? So you're saying that President of the United States, the chief law enforcement person, cannot ask somebody to cooperate with an ongoing public investigation into wrongdoing? That's just bizarre to me that you would think that you can't do that.
And so you would say that it's fine to ask about the DNC, but not about Biden? So Biden is running for the Democratic nomination, right? That's for 2020.
That's a hypothetical because that did not happen here.
No, but
I would ask you.
No. On the call, the president did ask about investigating the Bidens. Are you saying that the money that was held up that had nothing to do with Biden?
No, the money held up had absolutely nothing to do with Biden. There's no question. And that was the point I made to you.
And you're drawing a distinction. You're saying that it would be wrong.
Three factors. Again, I was involved with the process by which the money was held up temporarily. Okay, three issues for that. The corruption in the country, whether or not other countries were participating in the support of the Ukraine, and whether or not they were cooperating in an ongoing investigation with our Department of Justice. That's completely legitimate. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Regarding the secretary over at the State Department, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, George Kent, reportedly testified that you asked him to step down from any issues regarding Ukraine. Is that true?
Who said that?
It was George Kent.
I'm sorry, I don't know who that is. Is that somebody who testified this week?
Yes.
I don't believe I've ever talked to anybody named George Kent in my life, nor have I asked anybody to resign their position over this.
Okay. And also, another thing is that there have been reports that you had been conducting a review of the phone call with Vladimir Zelensky, the Ukrainian president. The question is, is that true? Do you acknowledge that you've been conducting that review? Was the call just perfect as the president
is? Again, no one here had any difficulty with the call. We do think the call is perfect. We don't think there's any difficulty with the call at all. I've read it several times. By the way, it was not on the call. Somebody in my office was on the call. No one raised any difficulty with me on the call at all. I understand that, in fact, no one on the call in here thought there was any difficulty with it. Let's get to your point about what we're doing inside.
Was this an attempt to actually uncover the whistleblower?
Here's what it is. It's like, look, if you're having the House do what they're going to do, doesn't it simply make sense for us to sort of try and find out what happened? This is one of the questions I don't understand from you folks that we get all the time, which is some of you have criticized us for having a war room, okay? Which we don't, by the way. You don't have a war room when you haven't done anything wrong. Clinton certainly had a war room. I think Nixon did, but they actually did something wrong. We didn't, so we don't have a war room. But at the same time, then when we say that, you say, well, you're not taking it seriously. Yeah, we are. I mean, we do. It's part of what we do. Look, when you work for the Trump administration, you're used to this kind of attention, right? We know how to do this, and we do this, and we're preparing for it. Yes, we're having lawyers look at it. Yes, we're having our PR people looking at it. If we weren't doing that, we would be committing malpractice. But I don't think there's anything extraordinary that we're doing. We've been dealing with oversight from the Democrats since they took office. In fact, it's all we've been dealing with the Democrats since they took office, because we certainly haven't been doing much legislating since they've been here. Yes.
Let's go to a break. Come back to Mick Mulvaney demo show on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A family from Prattville was having trouble saving enough money to send their second daughter to college. So when they called us, we put our diplomas to work and came up with a solution.
Alabama Home Mortgage dropped their rate by 2% and lowered their monthly payment by $300, which allowed them to graduate to big savings.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everyone, Christy here from Blue Water Broadcasting, our last on location for the name game promotion. Today we are right outside Eastdale Mall, right where the entrance is to JCPenney. Come and see us. You'll see our giant Sprinter van on the grass. We are registering people to win the $1,000 gift card to select stores in Eastdale Mall. Those select stores are $500 to At Home and $500 to Foot Locker. We're going to be doing that drawing on Monday, the 21st at about 9 a.m. to see who wins. If you have not registered yet, this is your chance to register in person, and you're automatically entered into the drawing. We're going to be hearing from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. You have that time period. You come within that time period, you can automatically be entered into the drawing for the $1,000 gift card. All right? So we'll be here till 1. Come and see us at the Sprinter van. Very important, and we'll see you soon.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Show.
272-9228, that's where we are.
I want to break free.
Watching Mick Mulvaney spar with the press in the White House briefing room. A little dust on the podium there because it hadn't been used in so long. Mick's doing a pretty good job, and the press are just there. You can hear the drum beats out there. It's like Jumanji, the beat on the game here. Let's go back to this.
Ma'am, I'm trying to get folks who haven't asked a question yet.
Chief, in light of the depositions that we've heard, do you believe that Rudy Giuliani's role as an outside advisor to the president is problematic?
No, that's the president's call. I mean, actually, Steve Scalise got to ask this a similar question today on television. I thought his answer was great, which is, look, you may not like the fact. In fact, I think understand from reading his opening testimony that Gordon Sondland didn't like the fact that Giuliani was involved and said that in his testimony. Okay, that's great. You may not like the fact that Giuliani was involved. That's great. That's fine. It's not illegal. It's not impeachable. The president gets to use who he wants to use. The president wants to fire me today and hire somebody else, he can.
From the actual,
the president gets to set foreign policy, and he gets to choose who to do so, as long as it doesn't violate any law. Okay, and he doesn't violate any laws regarding confidential information or classified material or anything like that. The president gets to use who he wants to do.
Yes.
Did the president direct you or anyone else to work with Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine?
When was it? There was the May meeting, and I think this has been widely reported. In fact, I think Sondland mentioned it in his testimony, and I'm pretty sure that Rick Perry mentioned it in his interview yesterday with the Wall Street Journal, that in the May meeting in the Oval Office that I was in, and I think Senator Johnson was there as well as Mr. Volcker was there, the president asked Rick Perry to work with Mr. Giuliani.
And did you think that was appropriate when you were asked as well?
I wasn't asked.
You were not asked.
No.
That was my question. Were you or anyone else asked?
Yeah, and I think the answer to your question is that the president told Rick Perry, who I think was sort of, you know, he was the issue. That one of the reasons they were in there, obviously, talking about energy, that we were very interested in trying to get Ukraine as an energy partner. That's why Mr. Perry, Secretary Perry, was so heavily involved. And that's when the president said to Mr. Perry, "Yeah, go ahead and talk to Rudy." Yes, you haven't asked a question yet. Yes. Shadow foreign policy. Look, that's a term you're using. That's a pejorative. What is a shadow foreign policy? The president asked. Who else is in the room? Rudy Giuliani, who's in the room when the president is having this conversation? Okay, it's Gordon Sondland, our ambassador to the EU, Kurt Volcker, who is our special designated envoy to the Ukraine. I sat next to Mike Pompeo yesterday at the meeting with the congressional leaders, and I said, "Look, I understand I coordinated a coup against you by putting Sondland and Volcker in charge of Ukraine policy." He leans back to me, and goes, "You know, they both work for me." There's a shadow policy here. The president is entitled to have whoever he wants to work. I'm 100% comfortable with that. Yes, sir. I did. Yes, I'm sorry.
No
yes.
problem. First, to follow on that question, can you describe the role that you played in pressuring Ukraine to investigate the Bidens? And secondly, can you walk us through the meeting that President Trump was dangling over Volodymyr Zelensky to happen right here at the White House? What were the preconditions of that meeting, and was investigating Burisma one of them?
The first answer to your question is none. I didn't have any. What was your question? What did I do to Ukraine or something? Nothing.
Did you do anything to pressure Ukraine to investigate the Bidens?
No. So what's the second question?
The second question is about the meeting that was supposed to happen here at the White House. Between the two presidents.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through the discussions for that meeting? What was on the table for a precondition, and was the investigation of Burisma ever brought up as a condition to meet with President Trump?
No, not to me, and not to anybody I know of. I was never in a conversation that had the word Burisma in it.
Investigating the Bidens, then.
Okay, or the Bidens. That never happened with me in there. But to the larger point about the meeting, I think one of the things that y'all have missed is the president didn't want to take the meeting. The president didn't want to have a phone call. That was Mr. Rick Perry was pushing for that.
He said, "I'll see you here at the White House," didn't he?
At the end, yes. But I think that was a courtesy that he was extending at the time, and he's not been here yet.
But he was never realistically entertaining a meeting with President Zelensky.
I mean, we get asked by foreign leaders all of the time to either come visit their country or to have them come visit here. And we try to be courteous and say yes, and some of them we're able to accommodate, and some of them we are not. But I do not remember, I'm going to ask her a question, that I don't remember a serious conversation about setting up an actual meeting. There were no dates discussed. I saw that as one of the typical pleasantries that we have, and I don't think it was dangling a meeting or anything like that. Yes, sir.
Is the president still planning to welcome President Erdogan at the White House on November 13th?
Yeah, I think that depends on how the next couple of days go. It's still on the schedule, and I understand that Vice President Pence's meeting is going much longer than it's expected today. I hope it's not going. I hope they're not having a press conference right now. But I think that's one of those wait and see things. The president's been very clear about what he wants to see out of President Erdogan. He wants a ceasefire now. He wants prisoners protected. He I think can go down the long list of the things the president has mentioned to President Erdogan. And if we're able to get that, then I think that meeting can go forward. If not, then I think the president will review that possibility. Yes, ma'am.
You just said you were involved in the process in which you know, the money.
He's just shaking his head, stunned.
Three issues for that: the corruption in the country, whether or not the country they were assisting with an ongoing investigation of corruption. How is that not an establishment of an exchange of a quid pro quo?
Those are the terms that you use. I mean, go look at what Gordon Sondland said today in his testimony. Was that I think. In his opening statement, he said something along the lines of they were trying to get the deliverable. And the deliverable was a statement by the Ukraine about how they were going to deal with corruption. Okay? Go read his testimony if you haven't already. And what he says is, and he's right, that's absolutely ordinary course of business. This is what you do. When you have someone come to the White House, when you either arrange a visit for the president, you have a phone call with the president, a lot of times we use that as the opportunity to get them to make a statement of their policy or to announce something that they're going to do. It's one of the reasons we can then, you can sort of announce that at the on the phone call or at the meeting. This is the ordinary course of foreign policy. Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Mogherini, is it appropriate for any president or this president to pressure a foreign country to investigate a political opponent?
You know, every time I get that question, that's one of those things about it is, but so is when did you stop beating your wife? It assumes that the president has done that. We haven't done that.
I said Mr. Trump, or any president.
I'm going to talk about what this president did. Yes, ma'am.
The president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, said he sees his work as the president's personal attorney as intertwined with the president's national agenda when it comes to Ukraine. Do you see those issues as intertwined? Is his political interest as a president, as a political candidate, is that intertwined with the national interest?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question except that, Mr. Giuliani is his personal lawyer, and the president wants to use him.
It's appropriate for a personal attorney to be working in Ukraine on issues that are supposed to be national issues. Mr. Giuliani says there's an attorney-client privilege issue because he was working in the president's interest. Is that appropriate for his personal attorney to be working in his interest?
I don't know of anything inappropriate about that. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The lady in the back is very nice. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney. You said that the U.S. foreign policy will change, not like in the previous administrations. How does the president respond about North Korea's break off talks with the U.S. recently?
If the question is responding to breaking off talks, yes. Is there news in the last couple of days on that?
Yes, October 5th, Stockholm and Sweden.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm just not briefed on that. I apologize. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney.
And I'll take one more after this.
There have been published reports that you are objecting within the president's official family to the appointment of Ken Cuccinelli as to head up the Department of Homeland Security. Is that so? And if so, what is your objection to his possible appointment?
I have none, and I think Ken will be good at the job. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, did I really ignore you the whole time you're sitting in the front row and I haven't asked you a question yet? I'm sorry.
Same with me, Mr. Mulvaney.
So if there was no quid pro quo in the call, if it was routine, if he didn't want to do it, and, you know, it's all on the up and up, why did it have to go into this more restrictive server? Why was it moved from the one server to the other?
All right, let's I'm glad we got that. It's a good one to finish on. I'm not going to answer your question the way you want me to, but I'm going to answer your question, so give me just a second. I am not going to sit here and talk about how we handle classified information in this building, okay? I got a couple questions before about my private conversations with the president. I don't talk about those either. I'm not going to talk about that, but I do want to address it, and here's why. There's only one reason people care about that, right? And it's because they think there's a cover-up. They hope there's a, some of them hope that there's a cover-up, that, oh my goodness gracious, there must have been something really, really duplicitous, something really underhanded about how they handled this document, because there must be a cover-up, because there's always a good cover-up when we've got an impeachment, right? Nixon had a cover-up of the tapes, Clinton had a cover-up of the relationship with Lewinsky. There must be a cover-up here, right? Let me ask you this. If we wanted to cover this up, would we have called the Department of Justice almost immediately and had them look at the transcript of the tape, which we did, by the way? Right? If we wanted to cover this up, would we have released it to the public? And by the way, I'm glad that now all of this concern about how the document has been edited and what do these ellipses stand for, because I heard Adam Schiff go on television yesterday, or yesterday the day before, and say, you know, we don't need to hear from the whistleblower anymore, because now we have the transcript, or the memorandum of communication, or memorandum of document, okay? Everyone wants to believe there's a cover-up. You don't give stuff to the public and say, here it is, if you're trying to cover something up. So I'm not going to answer your question by explaining how we handle documents in this building. All I'm telling you is that you can stop asking the questions in there because there's no cover-up, and I can prove it to you by our actions. Look, I know we could do this all night. No, I'm not going to take any more. But it's nice to see everybody. Thanks again. All right.
Adios.
Wow.
The reason we played that for you is that when you see the news tonight, you actually heard the press conference and see how close they match up. Michael Pence, VP Pence, is speaking in Turkey, and that was probably the note that was being handed to Mulvaney.
Right.
Can you pick this up?
Yes, and the breaking news is U.S. and Turkey have agreed to a ceasefire in Syria.
That is a huge news. Let's go to a break. Reset that and be back. Dan Moore Show right after that.
Place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so sad.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy, Bama Miles, up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Told not to show up last week by the State Department, European Union Ambassador Gordon Sondland is at the Capitol today saying diplomats were told to work with President Trump's personal attorney.
In prepared remarks to three committees leading an impeachment inquiry, Sondland says he would not have recommended Rudy Giuliani be involved in foreign policy matters. But President Trump gave explicit direction he be involved with Ukraine. Sondland also says he did not know Hunter Biden, the former Vice President Joe Biden's son, sat on the board of a Ukrainian gas company.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Chicago.
Some 25,000 teachers have walked off the job in a fight over pay, smaller class sizes, and more support staff. The city plans to keep schools open with non-union employees for the hundreds of thousands of school kids now stuck in the middle of the fight.
Fox's Jeff Manasa, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says the city can't afford the teachers' demands. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. There is a tropical storm warning now along the Alabama and northwest Florida coasts as a quickly developing storm moves in by late Friday night or early Saturday. In the meantime, today's a nice day with a high temperature up to about 72. Great fall weather. Tonight, jacket weather. Overnight, low temperature down to about 50. Tomorrow, cloudy, but it should be dry. High 72. And then looking ahead, tropical rain developing late Friday night in the overnight hours and into Saturday and part of Saturday afternoon as well before ending. Becoming breezy with a high in the lower 70s, then a nice day Sunday with a high around 80. Our weather app will keep you on top of all the tropical action. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Who's 7292A, that's where we are. We're going to pick up the live Pence-Pompeo press conference where they've announced a five-day ceasefire with Turkey over the Kurds.
A week ago, Turkish forces crossed into Syria. Earlier this week, President Trump took decisive action to call on Turkish forces to stand down, to end the violence, to agree to negotiations. And today, I'm proud to report, thanks to the strong leadership of President Donald Trump and the strong relationship between President Erdogan and Turkey and the United States of America, that today the United States and Turkey have agreed to a ceasefire in Syria. Turkish side will pause Operation Peace Spring in order to allow for the withdrawal of YPG forces from the safe zone for 120 hours. All military operations under Operation Peace Spring will be paused, and Operation Peace Spring will be halted entirely on completion of the withdrawal. Our administration has already been in contact with Syrian Defense Forces, and we have already begun to facilitate their safe withdrawal from the nearly 20-mile wide zone south of the Turkish border in Syria. Let me say this also includes an agreement by Turkey to engage in no military action against the community of Kobani. And in addition, the United States and Turkey have both mutually committed to a peaceful resolution and future for the safe zone, working on an international basis to ensure that peace and security defines this border region of Syria. In addition to the settlement today with the ceasefire, Turkey and the United States mutually committed to the defeat ISIS activities in northeast Syria. This will also include an agreement renewed today to coordinate efforts on detention facilities and internally displaced persons in formerly ISIS-controlled areas. Also, Turkey and the United States agree on the priority of respecting vulnerable human life, human rights, and particularly the protection of religious and ethnic communities in the region. I spoke to President Trump just a few moments ago, and I know the President is very grateful for President Erdogan's willingness to step forward and to enact this ceasefire and to give an opportunity for a peaceful solution of this conflict that commenced 1 week ago. For my part, I'm grateful for the President's leadership. I'm grateful for the more than 5 hours of negotiations with President Erdogan and his team that arrived at a solution that we believe will save lives. And let me also say I'm very grateful for this team and to be able to have alongside Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, our National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, Ambassador Jim Jeffries, and Ambassador David Satterfield is a great privilege. And each of the members of this team contributed equally to achieving this outcome, which is a great contribution to security in this region, and it's a great contribution to the strong and enduring relationship between the United States of America and Turkey. Lastly, I want to express my appreciation to millions of Americans who I know were carrying this moment in prayer. We heard from people all over the country whose hearts were heavy with the loss of life in this conflict over the last week, long to see it brought to an end. And I believe their prayers, the strong leadership that President Trump provided to this moment, and the cooperation with President Erdogan and Turkey has made this possible. So again, let me say, a week after Turkish forces crossed into Syria, Turkey and the United States of America have agreed to a ceasefire in Syria. It will be a pause in military operations for 120 hours while the United States facilitates the withdrawal of YPG from the affected areas in the safe zone. And once that is completed, Turkey has agreed to a permanent ceasefire, and the United States of America will work with Turkey, will work with nations around the world to ensure that peace and stability is the order of the day in this safe zone on the border between Syria and Turkey. With that, let me recognize Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and thank you, Mr. Secretary, for your prayer.
Mr. Let's pause, Mike Pompeo. Let's go to a break, come back, and we'll kind of assess whether we should continue on with this. But this is big news. The news that you'll see on ABC, NBC, and CBS will be the Doral being used for the G7 meeting, and then it'll be the kind of dust up on the hearings, and then this.
And here's a breaking New York Times story. Yeah. We just watched McVeigh
Here's the headline from the New York Times. Just came into my email. Mick Mulvaney said the U.S. froze aid partly to pressure Ukraine to investigate Democrats. He undercut the president, undercut President Trump's denials of a quid pro quo.
Now, that's why exactly why we played that for you guys. So you heard it with your own ears, and then you listened to what the New York Times said. Damn our show, this is a case in point. We're going to be back right after this.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228 is where we are. Yeah, the damn press, it's unbelievable. That's exactly why we played that for you guys. So when you see the news tonight and you heard it, you can compare for yourself and see if you think that the news is presenting this properly. And this is this Syria, Turkey thing is a big deal. And, you know, kudos to them.
When this was always about the investigation William Barr is doing with John Durham.
Well, and it's about, if they call it digging up dirt on Biden. If Biden fired the prosecutor, got the prosecutor fired because they were doing an investigation into Burisma, which his son was involved in, and there's some correlation there, that's not digging up dirt. That's finding out that somebody did something wrong. So it's the way they are parsing the words in this whole thing just drives me absolutely crazy. Let's try to pick up a little more of Mike Pompeo here, see what he has to say.
I think Vice President said it well. I just wanted to add this thought. There obviously remains a great deal of work to do in the region. There's lots of challenges that remain, but this effort tonight sets the conditions for the successful resolution of this particular piece, which created enormous risk and a real risk of instability. And President Erdogan's decision tonight to work alongside President Trump to achieve this end will be one that I think will benefit Turkey a great deal. Thanks. I know you want to take it.
Let's not get into the question. Let's get into the show here. We've got, let's look at the cuts here. Let's start with Catherine Herridge from last night. Did I send that to you?
Yes.
Yeah. This is from last night.
President Trump, meantime, says Democrats trying to impeach him are desperate because they know they're going to lose next election year. On Capitol Hill today, new information from administration insiders about Ukraine. Here's Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herrick.
The president's former special envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, was on Capitol Hill to review the transcript and finalize the October 3rd record of his closed-door interview. On Ukraine and the unofficial role of the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, sources with firsthand knowledge of the session say Volker told House investigators, quote, "I was never asked to do anything that I thought was wrong." On why Giuliani had any role, Volker said, quote, "Because the Ukrainians asked to be connected to him, that information flow would reach the president." Volker told investigators it was, quote, in the U.S. interest for the information that was reaching the president to be accurate and fresh and coming from the right people. On why Hunter Biden sat on the board of a Ukrainian energy company, Volker said he suspected Burisma had a very bad reputation for corruption and, quote, looking to spruce up its image by having prominent named people on its board. In a contentious exchange with Democratic Chairman Adam Schiff, Volker said he believed the Ukrainians did not know about the suspension of military aid until about a month after the July 25th call between President Trump and President Zelensky. Volker said the Ukrainians had already secured a meeting with then-National Security Advisor John Bolton, quote, in that context, I think the Ukrainians felt like things are going the right direction and they had not done anything on a Biden investigation. The latest witness is the Secretary of State's former senior advisor, Michael McKinley. With 37 years in the Foreign Service, McKinley resigned last week and reportedly told investigators he was alarmed over the president's efforts to pressure Ukraine and objected to attacks on career diplomats. Outside the hearing room, Democrats defended the process as Republicans took aim at Schiff.
He's taken this to a Soviet-style inquiry. There's absolutely no transparency.
They are unable to defend the indefensible, and so the Republicans are arguing about cosmetic procedural matters.
The next witness has firsthand knowledge of the Ukraine discussions and in text messages defended the president to colleagues, saying, quote, there was no quid pro quo. Ambassador Gordon Sondland is scheduled for a closed-door deposition tomorrow. The State Department directed Sondland not to appear for a previously scheduled session.
Let's go to the phones and let's go to Tom. Tom, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Thursday.
Hi, Dan. Carlos, Tom.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine. But the, I listened to that last thing, and the Vietnam vet in me is just screaming because the same song I heard back then just twisted a bit. When I was one of those folks who got spit at for going and doing the service. And the Democrats are now telling us that what we did wasn't worth a hoot.
Okay, I'm not following you here. You're talking about what we did in Syria?
No, what Trump's trying to do.
Trying to do in what, Tom?
We're dealing with that whole mess, and it's an awful mess, just like Vietnam was.
Yeah, considerably less troops in U.S. troops in Syria than there were in Vietnam, but
right. but I remember back in my day, talk radio, which wasn't like it is now. But it was all negative about the troops and about what was being done. And this is getting twisted so awfully bad. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just really frustrating because I'm sitting here listening to it. And I got two master's degrees in effective communications, and it just friggin' sucks.
Tom, thanks for
that. Does that put it more perspective?
Say that again.
Does that make it more to the point? Just, I got the academic background besides the military background, and they're just twisting everything.
Okay. Tom, thanks for the telephone call. I'm up against the top of the hour break. Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. By the way, guess what bank got robbed this morning? The one that's on the corner of Carter Hill and Old Farm Road. I'm driving that way to come to the station. There must have been 50 police officers there. I give them a big thumbs up for Thursday. Get that bank robber. That's the third bank that's been robbed in Montgomery in 10 days.
Right.
News Talk 93.1. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.